Welcome back to the Space Kaycera Show with the space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin. And I think space nerds might be a badge of honor for you both, because that is like an understatement considering your backgrounds and your interests. And something I like to talk about in my shows are the things that are happening in the news. And something that caught my eye was a certain country that said, "We're pulling out of the ISS," and then went, "Wait, never mind." So I...
Zimbabwe.
Yes! How did you guess?
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, maybe we could start by talking about that. But then, you know, wherever the wind may take us this episode is fine with me. You know, we only have, what, one atom to this episode because it's the hydrogen. Mm-hmm. yeah, what do you guys think about that? So Russia said that they were pulling out of the ISS.
Goodbye.
And now they're like, never mind. Nope, that was a misunderstanding.
I think they've been wanting to go for a while. It's been a rocky year for them with the ISS.
Sure.
Twice they accidentally turned on their thrusters and started pushing ISS out of position.
Right.
They sent up a film crew with an actress. Nobody's really wanted them there, and they went anyway.
I didn't hear anything.
During her stay, that was one of the thruster misfires. I think they did that on purpose just to get it for. Probably to film a scene. That's my guess. I wasn't there, obviously. But I think it's irresponsible. And I think they're treating it as, you know, it's an old piece of junk. Let's make a new one. China's got one. It looks like you're inside of an iPod. And so
I know, right?
They probably want something nicer and fancier. And they probably want to jump on that bandwagon, sure. I'm sure. So I think if they leave, it's okay. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree. No, I will definitely be okay now that we have SpaceX. I didn't hear anything about the movie, though. Have you guys heard anything about that movie? Like, I know that it happened. But... Okay.
Tom Cruise is going to go up and film another one. But
I heard that as well.
He was meant to go with Axiom Space. And mm-hmm. I think that got delayed. And then I think after the first Axiom Space mission, they kind of... NASA looked at things and they said, maybe we should... rethink the whole idea of bringing up civilians to, you know, a working space station, you know, right. Like saying that all these missions have to have a current or former NASA astronaut with them to make sure that everything goes smoothly. I mean, even that mission, X-1, which did have a former NASA astronaut on it, there was still a bunch of bumps on the mission plan. I think they had to stay up there for nearly a week longer than they were planning to, so... It's a tight ship, the ISS, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They just have to make sure things go smoothly.
That I was thinking that as well, that, you know, the ISS is, yes, very much a working laboratory, which is why it doesn't look like an iPod inside, because it's been there for a while and they do a lot of stuff. And nice. the logistics of a film crew up there, I don't know. It just seems very interesting that they were kind of okay and open to the idea. But like you said, that it might be
I think Russia chose two cosmonauts that had experience to go up, serve also as the film crew. So it's not like they just sent, you know, Joe Schmo with a camera up there. They said an actual person who knew what they were doing. But I believe they had ulterior motives to just doing the science.
NASA also has kind of ulterior motives in allowing this sort of thing, because I think that everyone knows that the ISS is sort of winding down its technological relevance. And at a certain point, mm-hmm. it's going to be replaced either by different countries having their own modules or private companies like Axiom, you know, having their own modules. So maybe it was a mistake to allow private crews up there, or I'm not sure what happened with the cosmonauts, whether that was allowed in advance or not. I'd assume it was, but I guess it's all part of this idea of kind of commercializing the resource and making use of it while I still can.
Right. And that's something that I know people are fighting for the ISS in general, because the, you know, plan has been announced that it's going to get decommissioned and then sent into the atmosphere and burned up. And there's already mm-hmm. the call to arms of like, no, we can't let that happen. And no, we're going to save the ISS. And part of me is always kind of wondering, well, like, who then is going to take care of that? And who's going to fund that? And how are you going to keep it in orbit? Because it needs these capsules that attach to it to thrust mm-hmm. every so often to keep it in its parabola. Like, who's like, I understand how people are very sentimental about things, and I get that, but logistically, it's one thing to be like, save the ISS, and then another thing to actually do it. So,
I mean, what it represents is a pretty big deal. I mean, we've had how many years? I think it's like on the order of like 15 to 20 years where there has always been some humans who are not on the planet because just consistently they've been astronauts switching over from the ISS. Years. And, like 21 years?
Something like that.
That's incredible. Like there, there are people who are legally allowed to drink who their entire lives, there has always been at least one human not living on world. I mean, that like that's a term from sci-fi, right? Like on world, on planet. And the fact that this has been an international collaboration.
I'm going to say, which is why the whole Russia pulling out, but then being like, never mind. I think that maybe that's something that they have maybe crossed their mind a little bit later. Like, we're kind of, you know, screwing up something that's been a partnership for quite some time. So there's more than just, you know, stomping your feet and blowing a little smoke. There's more to it than just that. You actually reminded me of something that I like to share when I do sidewalk astronomy. Those mind-blowing facts where you're like, wow, you know, someone's entire life now of legal drinking age has had, you know, someone's been off the planet at any given point in time, their entire lives. So someone said this to me once, and I like to say it when I'm showing people the moon, but at some point there's going to be a generation that is the last generation that will look at the moon and there won't be artificial lighting. There won't be a permanent base on the moon anymore. Mm-hmm. No, not great. No, I'd say probably my children's time. Maybe they can say to their grandkids though, like, I remember when there was nothing on the moon, and people, you know, their grandkids will be like, what? Nothing on the moon? Which is so mind blowing to me.
Well, there's stuff up there, but there's nobody using it.
That's true.
Mostly
a bunch
of old equipment, and I think poo bags left over from the Apollo astronauts, something like that, right?
Probably.
Ew. Someone's gonna have to clean that up before we start.
That's gonna be a serious thing. Like littering on other celestial bodies is going to be a big issue in the coming decades, if not centuries.
Yeah. That's why they crashed Cassini on purpose into Saturn, because they didn't want to accidentally crash into Europa, where they're Enceladus, because they might be possibly an ocean with microbial life. They didn't want to contaminate it, so send it into Saturn instead.
Sure. And that's kind of like why space lawyers are becoming more of a thing. Mm-hmm. I actually know a couple of people on TikTok who are space lawyers, and they talk about space law, and everyone is like, this is real. And it's like, it's quite real. I mean, think about us. I mean, this is a great segue into, I guess, upcoming news, but you know, Artemis and SLS and going back to the moon, and how are we going to regulate that? And China says that they want to go to the moon, and how are we going to regulate that? And who's in charge? And that's what space law is starting to be formed for that reason.
I just hope nobody sells advertising on the moon, which was an actual proposition by some company that they wanted to land a bunch of, you know, acres of LEDs on the moon, and that way they can make us a Coca-Cola or something stupid or horrendous like that. It actually got some traction and it made the news quite a bit a couple of years ago. I don't know if they're still in business, but I just hope that doesn't happen. I want to look at
imagine if Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts turned the moon into one giant donut. National donut
donuts.
Interplanetary donut day.
Same size facing us all the time, so it wouldn't be hard.
When Kavi came as a guest host once for me, we were talking about the black hole picture, and he was like, yeah, and Krispy Kreme did a donut giveaway. And so, you know, therefore you should support science, because, you know, science get donuts. It makes sense.
They did it with Perseverance as well when they landed on Mars.
They did, yes.
They made the Krispy Kreme stepped up again and made a Mars donut.
I remember
and
that.
And I didn't get either of them, which is upsetting.
I know. I don't have any Krispy Kremes in my town, so that's why I didn't get it that day. But I do remember that happening. That was a good day. That was like early Space Case Sarah days, when I had just started like becoming Space Case Sarah. And that's how I ended up with my other spacey tattoo, the Perseverance logo, because I made a bet to myself. I was like, if that rover makes it, I will get a tattoo in its honor, like something small. And then of course afterward I see the parachute and I was like, oh, now I need to add the parachute to it. And speaking of the parachute, Kavi, do you remember
what
that you could like design your own Perseverance parachute by plugging in something?
Secret messages and stuff, right?
You know who designed that? That guy right there, Benjamin, designed the programming for that.
Yeah. It was you?
Somebody,
that's incredible.
Somebody decode. I didn't decode it. Somebody decoded what it was. I want to say someone in India figured it out. But they figured out there was a hexadecimal code, which is okay, great. And it made sense, great. So I thought, how cool would it be if I could just type Benjamin Salas in the parachute encoded? And I ended up writing a simple program and I shared it. And Sarah was a huge fan of it. And she told everyone, my God, you beautiful person, you made this thing. and it got shared all over on Space Hipsters and other various Facebook groups. And it took off a little bit on Twitter for just a moment. And
I remember seeing it. I didn't realize it was you.
Customize whatever you want. And you can print it into a PDF. And I even made a version that translated into Braille because, yes, somebody who is a science fan and also a teacher of the blind said, oh, my God, what you made is amazing, because when they print things from their computer for children who are hard of sight, difficult seeing, whatever.
Sure.
Big shapes that are filled in, like the red parts of the parachute. And the parts of the parachute that are not filled in, which are just outlined. The way their printers work is they add depth to where the ink would be.
Mm.
So that was very easy to feel your way around the parachute as you wrote in a message. So I made one that you typed in, you know, Benjamin Salas. I figured out what the Braille was. So that way you can print it. It would have the drawing of the parachute, but also would have the dots underneath it in Braille of whatever it is you wrote in your message.
That was science for good. Oh my gosh.
That's science for good.
So cool. Awesome. I love it. That is so awesome. You have a lot of fun with designing things and creating art. And actually Kavi does too. He's been playing around with some images for our space bar theme where he's integrating pictures from the James Webb telescope into like traditional art, famous paintings and stuff like that. It's really clever. So I can't wait for us to unveil all that marketing and stuff like that, but we'll get there. We'll get there. We're going to need to wrap up this segment and, I don't know. What should our last segment, what should we talk about? What would be interesting for you for this very first, you know, for this venture in hydrogen, the hydrogen episode? Why don't you mull it over a little bit? And we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we'll wrap up this Meet Our New Hosts episode and have some more science nerd talk fun. You're listening to the Space K Sarah Show with the space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio.